Let's see, the presentation, oh, I have no relationships to disclose. During the presentation, I'm going to talk about the approach that the Virginia Department of Health is taking to promote health equity. A lot of it will talk about the work that my office, in particular the Office of Minority Health and Health Equity, is doing to help lead that charge. And so we'll talk about strategies that specifically target some of the broader social determinants of health, and ultimately our goal, again, by recognizing the importance of the social determinants of health, is really trying to promote social justice. And then also to talk about some of the barriers and lessons learned from the standpoint of a state health department attempting to do this work. My office is a small office within the central office of the Virginia Department of Health. I report directly to the state health commissioner, Dr. Karen Rimley. Our system is set up such that it's entirely state administered, which means our local health districts are also part of the state system and report to our state health commissioner indirectly through our one of our deputy commissioners. And so this kind of creates additional opportunities to work directly at the local level to help build capacity around promoting health equity, as well as the work we do at the state level. We are divided into two divisions of work, one more focused on the social determinant of healthcare, access to care and providers, and the other where we start to look more at the broader social determinants and build capacity within the agency around that. Our office has developed a vision which currently is specific to our office. Our goal is that this would become part of really the overall vision and mission for the agency to promote health equity for all Virginians, and a mission statement that recognizes the importance of focusing on the root causes of health inequity and then addressing those to promote opportunities to be healthy and ultimately equitable health. My office is, in addition to being the State Office of Minority Health, is also the State Office of Rural Health and the State Primary Care Office. And so our direct programmatic work really looks at issues around racial and ethnic minority communities, rural, low income, and medically underserved. And so part of what we try to do is, through the federal funding that we receive for all of those areas, is to really try to integrate that work so that we're looking broadly at a variety of issues, be it in rural or urban areas, be it around socioeconomic status or race and ethnicity, place of residence, as well as starting to look very broadly at health equity in terms of issues around sexual orientation, gender, and ability. And so part of the challenges and one of the things that we work on is really trying to integrate our work across those different funding streams that we have. We define health equity in the same way that Healthy People 2020 does, by really looking at it as the idea of achieving the highest level of health for all people. And so in that definition, it also recognizes that it involves societal efforts. So not just the health department, not just our office, but across different sectors and communities to address these avoidable inequalities by ultimately equalizing the conditions. And again, looking at that from the standpoint of social determinants and how the decisions are made to distribute social determinants, really in terms of that broader social justice perspective, with a particular focus on disadvantaged and historical injustices. So certainly looking at issues of racism, classism, and others. Just generally from an administrative standpoint, our budget is relatively small, primarily from federal grants. Federal grants primarily fund our office, as I mentioned, at being the State Office of Minority Health, Rural Health, and Primary Care. And then state funds, which slowly seem to diminish from budget cycle to budget cycle. So a challenge that we have, but certainly we're sustained primarily by these federal grants. And again, our goal, and it's kind of an ongoing process of where we figure out how to best integrate the funding across all of these programs in order to effectively promote health equity. So within our office, our mission is, you know, obviously guides the work that we do directly and in conjunction with others. And a central part of what we do is around data analysis and research to help define the issue of health inequities in Virginia. And to develop what we call high priority target areas. And so really, this is really, I think, critical to really beginning the discussion for some to just raise awareness about the existence of health inequities, and then ultimately to draw attention to how they're distributed spatially across the state, and also their association with the broader social and economic factors, the living environment, poverty, and other issues that really shape opportunities to be healthy. So one of the activities that we do in this realm is produce a periodically updated health equity report, which 2008 was our first. Prior to that, there was a kind of a traditional minority health report, and we really wanted to change the focus to look more broadly at social determinants and how they influence the health of racial and ethnic minorities, low-income, rural, inner-city communities, and to really start to change the discussion. This report was actually very popular, downloaded I think more than 50,000 times from our website. We're updating it for 2011, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes, but just to give you an idea of some of the new types of information that we included in this report that was different from what had traditionally been done within the health department was to look at more closely at some of the social determinants of health and how they really shape, and many of you who are familiar with kind of the whole framework, and including the kind of the life course perspective of how disadvantage plays out in terms of health outcomes, we started to look at issues like double jeopardy by race, children that live in poverty and in high poverty neighborhoods, to demonstrate the dramatic inequality in this variable, and then to relate it to child health as well as health across the life course. We also, again, previously looking at just individual causes of death had traditionally been restricted to just looking at race and ethnicity, but then we also wanted to show that socioeconomic status here measured by education in Virginia is very dramatically associated with life expectancy across every major cause of death. And then at the neighborhood level, we also wanted to show the impact of living in high poverty neighborhoods. As you go across the slide here and the poverty level in census tracts increases, you see that the mortality ratio, the excess death, is higher in areas with higher levels of poverty. And so part of it was then just to introduce this new perspective on health and health equity, to try to move beyond the traditional medical model to look very broadly. We're in the process now of updating our health equity report, hopefully to be released in April of 2011. This report is going to have several components to it. One, we're working with one of the universities, Virginia Tech, to estimate the actual cost of health inequities in Virginia along racial and ethnic lines, rural, socioeconomic status, to have another kind of weapon in our arsenal to justify the importance of addressing health inequities. We'll also be looking at inequities specific to infant mortality, low birth weight, HIV and stroke, and then also developing what kind of the first step into a spatially referenced health opportunity index, which will look at a variety of variables across the state that are a variety of social determinants, and seeing how they're distributed across the state in association with life expectancy, with the goal again of showing how these social determinants profoundly influence how long people can expect to live and how that varies across the state, across different groups. And so we're looking forward to, then this is just an example of look at some initial work around income inequality within Virginia, and that this will be one of the variables related to life expectancy. And so that's part of what we call our high priority target area work, where again we're trying to identify areas within the state where we see poor health outcomes in association with limited access to care and adverse social determinants of health. For several reasons. One, very practically, to help local health districts and other partners to target their work to the areas that are of highest priority, really looking beyond just their broader area of responsibility, but looking at where do we see the clustering of the poor health outcomes. And then also, again, to really draw attention to the association between these poor health outcomes and how they're concentrated, and factors around poverty, concentration, poverty, segregation, access to healthy foods and other factors that are clearly spatially distributed and are ultimately influenced by broader policies that shape who has the opportunities to be healthy and who does not. And so that's kind of the basis of our high priority target area work. Some examples, and again, that work also helps, as I'll talk a little bit, as we focus on, help people to focus on communities to try to understand what's happening locally as well in terms of the, in addition to what we can pull from data, really involving a very community-based participatory approach to understand the issues from the community's level and how the community can come together to address them. So just some quick examples of this work. We've been focusing on low birth weight and infant mortality, which is a key priority for the agency. This is some analyses in Richmond, Virginia, which look at low birth weight on the left and infant mortality on the right in association with, on the left, we're actually looking at persistent poverty, so poverty potentially up over the last 40 years and the infant mortality rates in those areas or the low birth weight rates. And what we find consistently is that low birth weight is associated with persistent poverty. In some similar additional analyses, we also looked at other factors here that include non-marital births, which are a high percentage of the births in that area. This is where a lot of the public housing is concentrated in Richmond, as well as there's association between homicide rates and low birth weight in those communities. So again, we can use this data to target work in a traditional public health setting stance, but also to look at other variables that we don't traditionally think about and how we can bring in other partners to try to address those. And the second slide just shows kind of a targeting area of where the risk for infant deaths is in the Richmond City area. And this is what's part of the east end of Richmond into Henrico County, which is where we know that these poor outcomes cluster. And then just another example of looking at the issue of breast cancer in collaboration with our cancer registry, we were able to help them identify, in essence, where there's likely to be under diagnosis of breast cancers based on what we would assume to be the rate across the state. And in this area of what we refer to as Southside Virginia, Southwest, and far Southwest Virginia, we see where there's likely to be up to 2,000 undiagnosed breast cancers in those areas. So again, it helps to target specifically interventions, public health interventions, as well as looking at the broader social determinants. So quickly, I'll go through some of the other work that this data really guides a lot of our work around promoting equitable access to health care and providers. Looks like we lost a rectangle there. Focusing, again, work on equitable health and public policy as we tie in social determinants. There it is. Empowering communities, working from a very participatory standpoint, and then also building capacity within the agency. A lot of our, as I mentioned, our healthcare work is focused within kind of a division of primary care and rural health. Some of the just examples of some of specifically what we do. We are the organization that designates medically underserved and health professional shortage areas, and so we've used our high priority target area work to be very effective in designating areas so that they can qualify for federal grants to increase access to care. We've been able to designate 87% of the high poverty census tracts in the state, which is very beneficial locally around access to care. We've also led the effort to develop a health workforce development authority within Virginia, which is in the code. It's almost like an agency that will coordinate all health workforce issues around the state to be more coordinated and to ultimately focus on developing a diverse, geographically distributed and culturally competent workforce in the state. And we received a HRSA grant this year, the only one awarded this year to help to actually implement this authority at almost $2 million over 2 years. So again, that will go a long way to help with access to care issues, one of the social determinants. And then in our work that focuses on the broader social determinants, as well as when we think about traditionally the minority health role, that is where some of the work within this division occurs. We operate a culturally and linguistically appropriate services program that trains staff within the health department, as well as works with other partners to develop a medical interpreter network across across the state, as well as some other resources that we provide to help assure culturally and linguistically appropriate care. Within our kind of capacity building efforts, we have worked kind of within the agency. There has not been a coordinated, I guess, strategic effort where, for example, similar to what is happening in Boston, where across the board everyone's looking at these issues. We've up till now really tried to find opportunities to educate and work with other partners in the agency. So we've had some educational information put into the VDH orientation around health equity, provide technical assistance to our offices at the central office, as well as some of the health districts around incorporating a focus on health equity. We've been doing various training series around the state through webinars and conferences. And we're also now actually beginning to develop a agency-wide health equity steering committee that would really look comprehensively across the agency as in terms of how we can approach the different services that we provide, as well as how we affect policy and programs across the state to promote health equity. The final component to what we're doing is really starting to focus effort on health equity in all policy, which is the idea that when we think about health equity, we know that the social determinants are critical, and therefore policies outside of what public health does has a profound influence on opportunities to be healthy. And so we are building capacity within our office, as well as within the agency at the local level, to begin to try to really influence the broader policies. We're beginning to look at using health impact assessment and training our districts on that, as well as building on a Healthy People 2020 grant that we received in the past year, where we began having conversations with other state agencies and elected officials in the General Assembly around health and health equity and how they influence health. And we're following up on that with engaging other state agencies directly to find ways that we can work together to help them to shape policy and organizational policy that will ultimately help promote health equity. Just to end with some challenges and lessons learned, and I'll just briefly go through these because I know I'm running out of time. But obviously, budget cuts continue to be a problem for us, as I'm sure they are for everybody else. I mentioned the challenge of integrating the missions within our office to be effective. And then also helping from the state level, a lot of the focus on health is always around access to care, which is certainly critical and is part of what we do, but we're really trying to broaden that discussion so that the people recognize that health is much broader than access to care. And then also working within the changing political context at the state level, and it seems like nowadays even at the state level, the politics are so tied into the federal level that also has an impact on us. And then, again, working now to really integrate health equity across our entire agency at the state and the local level. So, thank you.